بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Today is the 10th of August in the year 2019. Alhamdulillah is the glorious day of Arafat, the day on which the accursed shaitan is throwing dust over his head due to our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving so many of his servants on this glorious day. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us amongst those who have been forgiven graciously by his great kindness and to further infuriate the accursed shaitan. Amen. And I've reached verse 31 of Surah Al-Hijr, and I believe it's the 7th session. So inshallah, going through verse 31 up to and including verse 40. So verse 31, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Except Iblis, he refused to be amongst those who prostrated themselves. So in context, the previous verses, the angels prostrated to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Here it says, except Iblis. So here, one of his titles is Iblis. Iblis is not his name. That's a title. Iblis is derived from the word ablasa, meaning full of despair. He refused to prostrate, the Quran says. So what details have we got here? So it mentions, so this narration is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Jarir, and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he recited this verse, i.e., of Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 33 and 34, sorry. And they bowed down, not so Iblis. He refused and was haughty. He was amongst the unbelievers. He explained. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know the secrets, just as I know the apparent things, such as what Iblis concealed in his heart of arrogance and pride. Ibn Abbas then said, before he undertook the path of sin, Iblis was with the angels alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was called Azazil. He was amongst the residents of the earth, and was one of the most active worshippers and knowledgeable persons amongst the angels. This fight caused him to be arrogant. Iblis was from a genus called jinn. So here, very important details are given by Ibn Abbas. So the first thing he mentioned was that before Shaitan fell, he was very pious, very, very pious. And his true name was Azazil, meaning the great one. He initially was from the earth. Why? Because he was a jinn. He ended up with the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam. He became very active and he became very knowledgeable. This caused him to be arrogant. So if a person goes, what made Shaitan arrogant? Knowledge. Think about that. Knowledge should not make you arrogant. Otherwise you've taken the path of Shaitan. And then, of course, we know what happened. And he was the first racist, because I'm better than him. I'm made from fire, he's made from clay. So racism is Shaitan's sunnah, ancient sunnah of Shaitan. So he refused to prostrate, and in the books of tafsir it mentions that the prostration lasted for centuries. So don't get this impression that the angels prostrated and about within a minute they're all up. They were in sujood for 100 years, one report says. Another report says 200 years. Shaitan, think about that. Let's take the lesser value. If you see angels prostrating for 100 years and you don't prostrate, you've been given more than enough time. Right? The Quran doesn't give you that detail. Right? But this shows his arrogance. Verse 32.
Yes, session 6.
Sorry, so it's session 6. Verse 32. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Iblis, what is your reason for not being amongst those who prostrated themselves? So now a question is posed. Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know? So it's very important to highlight, whenever Allah the Almighty and Glorious asks any questions, He's doing it for us. Just like on the Day of Judgment, He'll ask us, what did you do? He knows. He's given you the opportunity to speak. So when He's asking here to Shaitan, why didn't you prostrate? He knows. But He's given him the opportunity. Verse 33. Iblis said, I am not one to prostrate myself to man, whom you did create from sounding clay, from mud molded into shape. So note again, how often is this description of Adam mentioned? It was mentioned in verse 26, verse 28, and now verse 33. Solsolin min hama'im masnoon. From sounding clay, from mud molded into shape. Shaitan said that. He said, I'm better than that. Why should I prostrate to this? So now this is an important point. Sheikh Shankiti, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a tafsir, 10-volume tafsir. It's called Adwa al-Bayan fi Idab al-Quran bil-Quran. So he mentions in his tafsir, Sheikh Ash-Shankiti, this analogy employed by Iblis of his racial origin, which is fire, to that of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, which is clay, and his deriving from this that he is better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and that it was not desired for him to prostrate to one who was lesser than him, despite the existence of a clear, unequivocal text saying prostrate to Adam, is called Fasid al-I'tibar, according to the terminology of the scholars of Usul. Therefore, anyone who rejects a clear and unequivocal text of revelation due to analogy, his precedent for this lies with Shaitan. So simply put, what was the Shaykh saying? Something beautiful. He's saying that, can you use your reasoning? You can only use your reasoning if there's no text. If there's something in the Quran, you can't use your reasoning. If there's something in the Sunnah, you can't use your reasoning. The Shaykh said, Shaitan was the first to do this. Allah Ta'ala gave him a command, direct, prostrate. What did he do? Reasoning. Have you understood this? He goes, therefore, anybody who does this now, they're following the sunnah of Shaitan. And even, look how strange it is. You actually say to a person, Allah Ta'ala says this in the Quran. And what does he say? Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. And there you go, exactly like Shaitan. So now there's a report. This report highlights this. So the hadith is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir states Sahih. Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh, he said, Iblis used qiyas. He was the first one to do so. Iblis used reasoning. He was the first one to do so. In Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir Sahih, Muhammad ibn Sirin added, would the sun and the moon be worshipped if it was not for qiyas? Would the sun and the moon be worshipped if it was not for qiyas? So simply put, the Tabi'een rahimahumullah, they said the first to do qiyas out of its place was Shaitan. And what was the effect of that? Shirk. People worship the sun. It started with qiyas. It started with qiyas. So note here, there's a huge lesson here. As soon as you hear revelation, khlas, no reasoning. We don't dare use our logic now. Verse 34. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then get you out from here, for you are rejected, you are accursed. So note here, Allah ta'ala calls him a rajim. Rajim. قَالَ فَأَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. Rajim means the cursed. That's why we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Shaitan the accursed. Why? Because Allah ta'ala cursed him. He said, you are cursed. Rajim. And just as a subnote, I know a brother who called his son Rajim. Imagine. Why have you called him Rajim? Because it's got a nice ring to it. MashaAllah. Verse 35. And the curse shall be on you till the day of judgment. So the curse is now active until Qiyamah. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, there's a very interesting point here. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Abi Hatim, Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahmatullah alayhi, said, When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed Iblis, his image changed into something different from that of the angels. And he made a sound like a bell. Every bell that rings on this earth until the day of judgment is a part of that. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Sa'id ibn Jubair, senior tabi'in, the last man that Hajjaj martyred, rahmatullah alayh, he said when Shaitan cursed, when he was cursed, he was a very beautiful creation. His image changed and he became very ugly. Reports mention horns came out of his head and a tail came out of his back. And what's interesting is he's depicted like this in the drawings by the Christians. The Prophet ﷺ said he likes the color red. They also depict him as red, which is interesting. So not of the Christian artistry seems to be spot on. But he was cursed. But then it says he was in pain and he made a noise like a bell. So your guess is as good as mine what that sounded like. But you get the image of a bell. Then Sa'id rahmatullah alayhi said every single bell on the earth has its origin from this. Now why is that important? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't like bells. Because you should not accompany us, those who have bells. Now the tragedy is this. We got bells everywhere. You go to a person's house, ding dong, press the bell. Oh, mashallah, what a way to enter a person's house with shaitan. Why haven't you got a knocker? Right? Oh, it's not loud enough. The only time the scholars say the bell is allowed, is permissible if a person's hard of hearing or he's deaf. Then there's no problem, right? But generally speaking, what the hell have you got a bell for? Every bell has a shaitan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Right? So here, why? Look at the origin. Shaitan got cursed, he changed and he made him sound like a bell. And even in school, bell time, right? You know, it's bell, fire bell. Everything's got a bell. The dhikr of shaitans everywhere, music, bells everywhere. And we're oblivious. Shaitans, you know, totally God is in his net. Astaghfirullah. So here, this is another thing which is worth pointing out. The curse will follow him till the day of judgment. Verse 36. Iblis said, oh my Lord, give me time till the day the dead are raised. Let me live till the day the dead are raised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, respite is granted to you till the day of the time appointed. So he's asking now, Shaitan goes, I'm cursed, I'm doomed. Let me live till Qiyamah. He hasn't got any power, he has to ask. Allah ta'ala says, you've been given this, you will now live till Qiyamah. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's allowed a creation, a jinn, to live till Qiyamah. He's not tasted death yet. Look at that, if you reflect upon that, his power is beyond this. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now this very interesting thing. In Surah 7 verse 14, there's details here. In Surah A'raf, Surah 7 verse 14, he said, give me respite till the day they are raised up. In Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman 2-1147, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayhi said, do not ever stop making dua, nor allow what sins you commit to stop you from making dua. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the dua of Iblis, and he is the most evil of the creation. And then he recited these two verses, Surah 7, verse 14 and 15. He said, give me life till the day they are raised up. Allah ta'ala said, you are amongst those who have been given respite. So look how beautiful. Sufyan ibn Uyayna is Taba Tabi'in. He said, never stop making dua. And never let the sins you commit stop you from making dua. Then he goes, I'll tell you why. Shaitan made dua. Allah Ta'ala answered it. Are you worse than Shaitan? So note, we're going through the verses. We don't realize there's lessons here. Shaitan made a dua. Imagine, you think, no chance. Allah Ta'ala goes, yes, I've answered it. You're living till Qiyamah. So this is another thing which is mentioned by the Shuyukh. The other thing which is important to highlight here is that he's actually quite foolish as well, Shaitan. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Sahih Muslim that when the unbeliever does any good, Allah Ta'ala rewards him for that and he dies with nothing. So let's say a person was a Christian and he died in Kufr. And he did amazing works, humanitarian works, orphanages, looking after the poor. Fantastic work. Well, he died as a kafir. The Prophet said every single good he did, Allah Ta'ala will give it back to him before he dies. That's the sunnah. Look at how interesting this is. Apply that to shaitan. That proves how much good he did, because he can't die till Qiyamah. Meaning, he didn't need to ask. He's done so much good. Allah Ta'ala's sunnah is, you will be rewarded for the good you've done. But when you die, you've got nothing left. Look at the good he's done. Even now, he would have been still alive. So this is another thing. So when he asked, he actually shows he was a bit silly as well. He didn't have this knowledge maybe. But for the believer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala rewards him for the good and also in the akhirat as well. Meaning we're not like that. Allah Ta'ala gives us a double by his great kindness and mercy. Verse 39. Iblis said, O my Lord, because you have put me in the wrong, I will make beautiful for them on the earth, and I will put them all in the wrong. So now this is very interesting. Shaykh Sayyid Qutb, in his commentary of this verse, he said, it is Iblis himself who has chosen the battleground, which is earth. Look at these things that people miss. What did Shaitan say? Shaitan's not on the earth yet. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you misguided me. Now I'm going to make beautiful for them on the earth. To make them go astray. So who chose the earth as a battleground? Shaitan. Think about that. It wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan said it as if he had this inkling. I'm not going to be here around here for too long now. So Shaitan, Sayyid Qutb said, he set the battleground. Now look at the stupidity of Shaitan. Who did he blame? Right? Imagine. Prostrate to Adam. You didn't prostrate. You made me go astray. Now this is very important, because Shaitan puts this into your heart. And you might have experienced this. Adam made a mistake, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's forgiven. Shaitan makes one mistake, he goes to hell forever. Because where's the justice in that? The scholars say, there's a difference. Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he ate from the tree, what did he say? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ O our Lord, we have oppressed ourselves. And if you do not forgive us and show mercy upon us, we will be lost and ruined. So who did Adam say the blame light on him? Have you understood this? Adam goes, I ate from the tree with my wife. We are to blame Ya Allah. Allah Ta'ala forgave them. Have you understood this? So who did Adam blame? Alayhi salatu wasalam, himself. Who did Shaitan blame? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a big difference. So one was forgiven, became a prophet, and his wife became the mother of all the children of Adam, and the other was cursed. So don't think like this. Yes, outwardly one mistake, but there's a huge difference between the two. Then look at this. He said, I will put them in the wrong. I will make things beautiful for them on the earth. Look how interesting. He says, I will make things beautiful for them on the earth. Now you have to really reflect upon this. These are his weapons. In Surah 7 verse 17, the weapons are given. Allah Ta'ala says, verse 17, Surah Araf, Shaitan said, I'm going to attack them from behind. Sorry, from in front of them. I'm going to attack them from the front. I'm going to attack them from behind. I'm going to attack them from the right. I'm going to attack them from the left. You will find most of them ungrateful. Shaitan's given his blueprint, his plan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, I'm going to make things beautiful for them on the earth. Right, left, front, back, I'm going to attack them. What was he talking about there? Ibn Abbas, he knew. Ibn Abbas said, this is what he's going to do. This is in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Ibn Abbas said, attacking them in front means he's going to raise doubts about them concerning the Akhirat. So you'll get a whisper. Is there really punishment in the grave? Do you believe that? Which way is he attacking you? From the front? Quran's telling you that. You, paradise. You're going to be in there forever. You really believe that? I think they're pushing up daisies. People just lights out. Just in the grave. You've been conned. That's his attack. From the front. Have you experienced that? Then Ibn Abbas said, his attack from behind is that he will make them more eager for dunya. Go for it. Look, you need to have a nice house. Go for it. You need more land. You need. That's his attack from the back, Ibn Abbas said. Then Ibn Abbas said, his attack from the right is causing them confusion in their deen. So when this, you're doing something and shaitan goes, it doesn't make sense. Well, what's going on there? What? That doesn't make sense. How can you do tayyib? What's dust? You're not really pure. You're not pure. That's, it don't make sense. Why can you marry four women? Why not five? That's his attack. From which way? The right. He's confusing you in wudu. No, you didn't do it. Get the elbow done. Right? Put it into your eyes. He's attacking you from the right. Why? Because it's not a game to him. He wants you to abandon the deen. That's why he's attacking. He's not just doing it for a laugh. And his attack from the left, Ibn Abbas said, he beautifies you to commit sins. He goes, Allah forgives. He's forgiven bigger sinners than you. Have an enjoy yourself. The other classic, you've been doing some ibadat. He goes, now, party now. You worked hard these 10 days. Party times. Which way is he attacking you? From the left. Did we know that? Right? So, simply put, from the front, he's attacking you. He's giving you doubts about the Akhirat. From the back, he's beautifying dunya. From the right, he's confusing you in your deen. From the left, he's beautifying sins. Then what does Shaitan say after giving you his game plan? Surah 7 verse 17. You will find most of them ungrateful. He's actually told you how he's going to do it. I'm going to stop them from doing thanks. For example, one of them says to me, why do you do all those du'as after you eat? Look how interesting that is. People committing sin, not bothered about that, comes over to me. He says, why do you do all these du'as? And I says, I want to do shukr. Now, what prompted him to ask? Right? Another example. You don't need to do that, brother. Why? Because that other thing takes out all your sins. This takes out your sins. What are you doing that for? That's the same thing. Shaitan stopping you from gratitude. You will find the most of them ungrateful. And that's how he gets his foot in. Now, what's interesting? There's another passage in the Quran. So have you got that? These are attacks of Shaitan. Surah 41, verse 25. In Surah 41, verse 25, Allah Ta'ala gives you another weapon of Shaitan. And it says there, translate, we have disdain for them Qurana, the Kareem, who make beautiful for them what is before them and behind them, until they are utterly lost. So now, in this verse, Surah 41, verse 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's now talking about the Kareem. What's the Kareem? These are the shaitans with you, who's with you, the whispering shaitan. The Kareem, the Quran says, مَا بَيْنَ فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He beautifies for you what is before you and behind you. Now what's being referred to? Shaitan, we know his game plan. What's Kareem trying to do? Imam Razi in his Tafsir Kabir, look what he said, something amazing. He goes, the Kareem's beautifying what's before you is that he's telling you there's no Qiyamah, there's no day of judgment, there's no paradise and hell. That's the Kareem. So what's the Kareem trying to make you become? Kafir. Don't believe in anything. Because all these are stories, Asatir al-Awwaleen, ancient stories have reached you. Because you're a modern man. There's no day of judgment. There's no hell. There's no grave. This is it. Then Imam Razi said, and his attack from behind, he says, the world has always been here. Nobody created it. It's always been here. Now, what's interesting about that attack? Even the kuffar have worked out it's a lie. Why? Because of the Big Bang. So look how amazing the shaitans are that thick. Right? You know, before they go away. And they actually believe that. You know, if you look at their history, philosophers, it's called, they give it a name. It means the eternal state. It's always been here. There's no God. He says always, sun's always been there. Earth, nobody created nothing. But now they have to, you know, revise it. Oh no, there's a Big Bang. Came from everything. But that's an attack. So now combine that attack. You got shaitan attacking you from four directions. You got the Kareem taking your kata off. Are we aware of the attacks? The fact that Allah Ta'ala has told you that in the Quran to protect you. He goes, don't fall for these tricks. And when did he give this game plan? First day. He didn't say 50,000 years into his sentence, Ya Allah, I'm going to tell you my game plan. Before he's even on the earth, he's giving him his game. He goes, here, this is what I'm going to be doing, Ya Allah. Now, why did he do that? Think about that. Isn't that a silly thing to do? So there's two ways to answer this. One is, Allah Ta'ala already knows. He doesn't need shaitan to tell him. The second is showing his illness. He's cursed. The cursed one, he thinks he can hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he can hurt a human being by saying some spiteful words. This is his foolishness. And this is why here there's a book written by Imam Ibn al-Jawzi. And guess what it's called? The Sketch of the Fools and Simpletons. He wrote a book. It's called Akhbar al-Hamqa wal-Mughaffaleen. He goes, the stupid people, the book of the stupid people. He wrote a book. And guess who he's talked about in there? Shaitan. What did he say about him? Page 70. He recites this verse, Surah 15, verse 39. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I will surely mislead them all. Shaitan said that. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi said, this shows he is jahil from two angles. Shaitan's stupid from two angles. Number one. He said that with the aim of affecting the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, punishing him. He didn't realize that Allah ta'ala is the truth. He's not affected or harmed by anything. For he is self-sufficient. So there's the foolishness. He thought, I'm going to hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you hurt him? You can't hurt him. You can't do anything to him. So that's one angle of his stupidity. That's why he said it. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ Allah Ta'ala goes, look how stupid he is. The second angle, the Shaykh said, he forgot, he is unable to mislead. So then he says straight after that, Illa ibadaka minhum la mukhlaseen, except your chosen servants. So basically he's trying to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then he goes, but I can't do jack. Then he goes, so he says straight away, Illa ibadaka minhum la mukhlaseen, except your chosen servants. I can't misguide them. So Imam Ibn al-Jawzi said, there you go, there's shaitan. Straight away he opened his mouth, it showed he's stupid. Trying to hurt Allah Ta'ala, you can't hurt him. You're banging your head against a brick wall. And secondly, he realized, I can't do anything. Allah Ta'ala is the one in charge, except the ones that you know, protect. There you go, there's another lesson there. And why do you think shaitan, he's not clever. Allah Ta'ala was da'if. His planning is da'if. But women's planning is strong, that's another thing. Now, also, we don't need to panic. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala will not give him opportunity to get us if we know what to do. So the hadith is in Hakim Bayhaqi and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha number 104. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaitan said, Wa izzatika ya Rabb, by your honor, O my Lord, I will never stop enticing your servants as long as their souls are in their bodies. Astaghfirullah. He's challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another stupid. Who are you challenging, man? You lost it. Yeah, you have. You're cursed. He's challenging him. He goes, I swear by your honor, as long as their souls in their body, I'm going to destroy them. The words he used, La abrahu uhuwai ibadaka ma damat arwahuhum fi ajsadihim. Allahu Akbar. Think about this. Allah the Almighty then responds, Wa izzati wa jalali la azalu aghfir lahum ma astaghfarali. The Lord blessed and exalted responds, By my might and my majesty, I will continue to forgive them as long as they seek my forgiveness. Right? So Shaitan, he's actually making things worse for himself. He goes, I'm not going to give them a moment's rest. Even when they're dying, I'm going to go for it. Which the hadith mentions. So Allah Ta'ala says, they just need to ask my forgiveness. I forgive them. In other words, they don't need to do anything. Just ask my forgiveness. I've forgiven them. Now what do you think of your plan? So what does Shaitan do? He whispers to you, you're beyond repair. You are an ultimate Shaitan. Stop asking forgiveness. You know where you're going. That's his trick. Hasan al-Basri goes, do not let Shaitan get two victories over you. The first victory is you listen to him to commit sin. The second victory is, he goes, don't ask forgiveness. Astaghfirullah. So not here, Allah Ta'ala is going through the narrative, but he's exposing things about Shaitan to you, which you can only get when you go through the respected scholars. Except the servants amongst them who are sincere and purified, i.e. by your grace. And just to add to finish, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in Bayhaqi and Bazaar Sahih Hadith, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not wish to be disobeyed, he would not have created Shaitan. Now why is this hadith humorous and also sad? It's humorous because Shaitan can't do what he does except with Allah Ta'ala's permission. Allah Ta'ala goes, I want people to commit sin. I'm willing it. That's the humorous part. Meaning, you're that pathetic that you can't even sin without my permission. But then, what's the sadness? If Allah Ta'ala did not want to be disobeyed, he would not have created Shaitan. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you the purpose of Shaitan. Because I created him, because through him, people will disobey me. I'm willing that. So that's the purpose of Shaitan. Why is this important? Because the Christians to this day, they can't understand Shaitan. Because if God is all good, where did evil come from? And guess what they've ended up saying? Evils come from Shaitan. So they're saying it's created from Shaitan. He's the creator of evil. It can't be attributed to God. The response is Shaitan is the reason that evils come into the world. And very simply, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us on this most appropriate day of Arafat, to forgive us our many sins, and to further infuriate this most wretched servant of His, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And just a quick one, mate. Yeah. Last past few weeks, you mentioned about the elements,
yes,
stars and where. Can you mention about the so far the link?
MashaAllah. So, today's session 6. Going back to sessions 5 and 4, notice I was talking about the heavenly bodies. If you go back to verses 16 onwards, it talks about the buruj, the heavenly bodies. Then it talks about the shooting stars in verse 18. Then in verse 19, it talks about the earth, how it spread out. We talked about ecology. In verse 20 onwards, it talks about the rizq given to those yourselves and those that you don't know. And then it talks about the winds, the fecundating winds. It's talking about balances all the way through. Then it talks about verse 23 and 24. It talks about life and death, the balance of life and death. But then, I should have mentioned last week, then it starts talking about the creation of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he was created from. And what has that got to do with the balances? Because he is also perfect in the way that Allah Ta'ala has created him. He's perfectly balanced. He's been given a body, he's been given a soul, and the Shaitan is the counterpart. right? That's the evil force which is against you. So Allah Ta'ala beautifully, after talking about the intricate balances in creation, talks about now the core, the battleground between the human beings and the shayateen. And note again the beauty in the fluency of the glorious Quran, which is mentioned. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال يا إبليس ما لك ألا تقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا إبليس أبى أن يكون مع الساجدين قال يا إبليس ما لك ألا تكون مع الساجدين قال لم أقل لأسجد لبشر خلقته من صلصال من حمأ مسنون قال فاخرج منها فإنك رجيم وإن عليك اللعنة إلى يوم الدين قال رب فأنذرني إلى يوم يبعثون قال فإنك من المنذرين إلى يوم الوقت المعلوم قال رب بما أغويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين. We pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He makes the Quran the Rabbi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently committed. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.